All right, boys and girls, we're recording the first week in IndyCar News.
Live.
With Robin and I sitting in the same room together. It's a little bit echoey, but you know, we make do with what we've got. Robin Miller, 101st Indy 500.
I've only been to 48.
Lazy ass. We had a Monday and Tuesday that were busy, hot, humid, probably a little hotter than what teams thought they were going to get, so I don't know if they thought that there was a lot of meaningful information they could capture. Wednesday was effectively too windy to be of much value. Although Scott Dixon and the Ganassi team, I spoke with Chris Simmons this morning, who said that they did actually learn a lot of really good stuff that they think they can apply to, in qualifying and other stuff.
And Ed Carpenter said the same thing.
Yeah,
got to be out there running.
Don't listen to anything they read, folks, especially me. And then we had today, Thursday, where everyone woke up absolutely afraid it was going to be raining, not today, but tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday. And by losing Wednesday, for the most part, for 31 of the 33 entrants, and then the specter of rain on Friday and over the weekend, this kind of nice, lazy, comfortable, hey, we got 5 days going into Saturday qualifying. You drop Wednesday, and then looks like we're going to lose Friday or portions of Friday. And everyone backed up their plans, trying to get their fast Friday running done. We thought they would do that today here, Robin. And then everyone actually spent happy hour running in big packs. So forget the getting ready for qualifying. It seems like, for the most part, everyone has said, we don't know what's going to happen for qualifying. Let's just get ready for the race. How crazy was this today?
Well, here's the only thing, and I know I'm an old, nasty, grouchy, go home, Miller, but when you only got 33 cars and you've got 5 days of practice, 30-some hours, I mean, it's like so tedious and so monotonous, and it's just bam, bam. I asked Ryan Hunter-Reay a little while ago, I said, what do you really learn by running out there over and over, lap after lap? He goes, well, you learn who you can run with and who you can't. And he said, you want to see how your car is going to respond when there's two or three cars ahead of you? You want to know? It helps when you're getting in the corner. He goes, you can tell some things. He said, but it was getting insane. And he goes, I finally called it off and said, I'm not going to stay out anymore. And I think it for the people that, like Chris Medland.
Chris Medland, Racer.com's Formula One editor who's here this week.
And you took him out to turn three, and he got to say it high and low. And the lower he got, he was like, well, his eyes open.
Scary.
Because television doesn't do justice to how fast you're going. And when you see 19 cars buzzing around here at 225 miles an hour in this big pack, it is impressive, but then you just, the risk versus the reward. Okay, it doesn't pay much to win the pole. It doesn't really matter where you start. So I told Dario, I said, this thing needs to be 1 day of practice, 1 day of qualifying, and the race. And he goes, nah, actually 2 days of practice would be good. So.
Yeah, the weird thing, which is a dynamic, it actually saddens me to think that we hear drivers talk about this, qualifying points. So we're normally the pole and that kind of stuff, there's some money in it and there's bragging rights, but you know, if you can get the pole, you know that you're going to get a 5-6 days of good publicity leading into the race. Now drivers, the full season drivers, the 22 or so of them, they're thinking about points because qualifying matters, so they have a reason to go out and really try and do this. So that's another little wrinkle. Again, all weather dependent. If it is raining, and who knows what we're going to get, if we're going to get in qualifying over the weekend or next week, who knows? You have the full-timers who are thinking, oh, well, did I do enough running? Did I get enough qualifying simulations in today?
But let's back up.
Has nothing to do with the 500. I'm sorry. Those are all full-season concerns that somehow kind of have to bleed into the 500, which is a disappointment.
Jay Fry's done a really good job, and he inherited this point system. And I don't necessarily know that he's enthralled with double points in the last race, and I think that's why he'd like to have it on oval someday, so at least have some drama. But having points for qualifying here that can really impact the championship makes me crazy. It's, of all the places, it's like, no, we don't need big points for, you know, we don't need it.
So we kicked off this week with three teams making their IndyCar / Indy 500 debut. Michael Shank Racing. We have our friends at the Harding Group, which is wonderful for them, and Ricardo Juncos, the Juncos Racing Team. Awesome for all of them. Gabby Chavez, quick like a bunny on Tuesday, so that was great. The Juncos team, they're definitely working their way up to things. There's no bravado in that group, and I actually respect that. The one team that Michael Shank was so mad on Monday. He didn't want to talk after Jack Harvey tried to go out and do his rookie orientation program and fire up the motor, and the thing would go 2 feet and stall. Fired up again, stall. They thought it was the gearbox control unit, the GCU, which is the hydraulic brain that powers the hydraulic clutch. So they're on pit lane for hour and a half, however long it was, bleeding it and working with it. And so I'm walking by, and it just sounds like a duck that had Taco Bell for lunch. I mean, it's just this farty, crazy sound. Turns out it was actually a Honda fuel pressure thing, where when they're, he would put load on the clutch, motor interaction would have fuel pressure stall, and it would stall. So he lost time there, wasn't able to get his ROP done, and was trying to go out and complete a phase, and found something odd with the steering, where, well, let's just say that he was able to turn the steering wheel, the correlating reaction by the front tires, not so much. That was a hard day for Mike on Monday, and for someone who's has said, since I'm 7 years old, I've been dreaming of getting here, it was a little bit of kick in the nuts to start off his dream
ride. Well, thank God it was on his outlap. Because, you know, he gets going and it's going to be a big crash. And Jack's a good driver. He's a good guy. And this is, you know, he was, as we interviewed him, and he was pretty shocked. I mean, you could tell it shook him up and bothered him because, you know, well, this is all about confidence. And that steering wheel comes, one of the mechanics explained on another team what happened, and it's frightening, you know. And you were a mechanic. You knew all about that. But, you know, when you get six cars and maybe you got some guys that haven't been working on them and you throw people, I mean, it's you just got to be careful because this place is all about respect and it can bite you in a hurry.
One of the things which was funny, I was walking down pit lane today and someone grabbed me and said, hey, and I turned around and it was Kevin O'Donnell, who was Dario's chief mechanic at Chip Ganassi Racing when he won all his championships and his 500s with Chip. He's gone to work full time for Michael Schenck. Well, the only thing was, Kevin wasn't in Mike's pit. He was in the Schmidt pit working on Jay Howard's car. And I said, well, what happened? Did things go sideways? Shank said, no. He said, I had no idea they were doing. I didn't know they were doing this. They didn't tell me. So with Mike having, I guess, sourced everyone they needed, he said, hey, can I go help out, do something? And so they let him here. And you know, when I saw Kevin today, and they do have some good IndyCar caliber people on Jack's car, so don't get me wrong, but just in terms of additional talent, you look at someone like Kevin, who's a Indy 500 winning chief mechanic, and you go, boy, rather see him down in the 50 car with Jack kind of helping that thing out. So we got through that. We had a Graham Rahal engine expiration. We had two Honda engine expirations in the GP of Indy on Saturday. One of those belonged to Sebastian Bourdais. And what do we have again today, Robin?
Well, I think, you wrote, Bourdais lost two engines now, and that's four for Honda in a week. And you talked to some people at Honda. I mean, I think the Honda teams are concerned, and that's, I think, what the Chevrolet guys were kind of like, we're not sure what's going on here, but they were really fast on Monday, and then they really backed off on Tuesday. We think they're a little gun-shy.
I think they are as well. I think they know what's failing. Actually, from what I've heard, they know what's failing. And it's a specific scenario, certain RPM range where things start to go a little sideways. The question is, it's two-part. One, obviously we have the race engines that get put in. So what they're running with right now isn't necessarily what they're going to be using on race day. For qualifying, you know, some teams that would take the motors that they use in the GP of Indy, those would come out, a fresh motor would come in this week to practice, the GP of Indy motors would go back in for qualifying, and then race day would, you know, for carb day and such, they'll have fresh motors. Can Honda get everything fixed in time between now and the delivery of those race day motors? We hope, and not because we're rooting for them more than Chevy, but just we don't want to see a race that turns into either thing.
An old 70s race, yeah. When cars blew up every three laps.
They're just being handed over because, you know, one couldn't get their stuff together. But I'm with you, and I've heard it's not a power thing, right? Because provided we can get into qualifying, we're going to get extra boost, extra turbo boost, extra power. I've heard that it's not a power thing. So with the horsepower going up, that wouldn't necessarily lead to more explosions. But bottom line, yeah, I'm not sure.
But it's kind of put a damper on, because everybody was saying, where do we get to Indy? Where Honda's going to kick ass and take names. Now it's kind of backed off a little bit.
And you're hearing from the mechanics you talk with, the engineers we speak with, you know, they've had Honda asking them, you know, all right, take it easy. We don't need giant, monstrous, smoky burnouts out of the pit. So just be smart and be polite with your equipment as much as you can. So we'll see how that does or does not affect the rest of the week. Boys and girls, we have a special guest, our first guest on the Week in IndyCar.
Probably be our last.
I know.
We don't pay much.
Damn it. Spencer Pigot, you are not an Indy 500 rookie, but you're with a rookie team that I think we love. We love Ricardo. We love everything you guys are doing. Tell us about your week. You guys are not being hyper-aggressive. Do you like that approach? Is it the right one? You feel like you want to go faster right now?
Yeah, I think we all want to go faster. You know, there's a few things I think we found towards the end of the day that, you know, should definitely net us some speed, some easy speed that we're missing. And then it just goes back to, you know, what are we really trying to focus on? You know, if we're being realistic, you know, in qualifying, I find it hard to
pole or
believe that we're going to go out and put it on pole and challenge the big guys. And that's not our objective. The objective is to have a good race day. So that's what we're trying to sort out. And, you know, today there's a lot of mixed running out there, a lot of time of the day that we had kind of put aside to work on the race running and group running was everyone was out in quali trims and running by themselves. So, you know, we definitely didn't probably get as much done as we would have liked today, but you know, I guess that kind of take a back seat now until Monday, and we'll focus a bit on qualifying tomorrow.
Does it I mean, you had such a good race here, and you had a good race at St. Pete. It's like, God, I'm getting some momentum with Ed's team. I wish I had my engineer in that car. It would be great to have it carry over to this. We're glad you get a ride at Indy. I mean, it's great that Ricardo hired you, but you kind of get that feeling like, man, we're starting to pull, got a little mojo going here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's kind of a unique thing about my IndyCar career so far. I've kind of worked with a few different teams, a few different engineers, and never week in, week out with the same people. But I think we're definitely starting to find our groove at ECR and really starting to mesh well together. You know, JR and I, our new engineer on his side, Justin, my engineer, Matt, we're all working really well together. And, you know, I think it shows in the races. We just got to, you know, try and qualify up a little bit higher.
So let's pull a bit of pressure on him. So earlier in the week, Robin and I were saying, I think if Spence has a good 500, I'm not talking winning, but a good top 15, shows people that he can be smart, make some passes, I think it'd be pretty hard for folks to not put you in a car full-time next year. Do you feel that, any of that pressure? Like, this is the one big oval you get to do this year. I got to show those, you know, folks that I'm not just a road racing guy.
I don't really feel any added pressure. I mean, yeah, everyone wants to do well at Indy, and I think that definitely says a lot about your future in IndyCar racing, because everyone knows that this is the big one. All the teams want to win it, and if you have a guy that doesn't have that ability, then he's not, you know, going to be high on the list to put in the car. So I definitely want to have a good month and show well, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, kind of a unique situation that we're in at Juncos Racing with a new group of guys, a new team. You know, guys with experience around here, but still, we're all working together for the first time. So I think if we do finish in the top 15, that'd be a really good result.
It would be. And you got new pit stops. I mean, these guys haven't worked pit stops together. Look what you're pitting 7, 8, 9 times against Penske and Ganassi and Andretti and Ray Hall's team. It's tough.
What's different about this year's 500 for you? Rookie last year, smart, all the things you spoke about, but is there a sense of flow of maturity that you feel coming into this year, or was the fact that it was a damn year ago like, all right, I still kind of gotta get into the flow a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, that's the last time I really drove in an oval was last May. I mean, I did that quick test at Texas this year, which was nice to kind of get used to going these speeds a little bit again, but still, it's been a while, and you know, coming back, it came back a lot quicker than obviously the first time around. You know, last year was new to everything, and I was trying to figure out running in traffic and just the speeds and how to run the right line, finding air on the wings, which is all, you know, much more important to do in IndyCar versus, you know, Pro Mazda or Indy Lights on the ovals that I've raced before. So just getting to learn all that was tricky, but now coming back, you know, I definitely remember things that I wanted to work on and have, I think, feel much more confident in traffic and, you know, following really close behind guys. So it's just kind of a feel that you have to get used to. It's not comfortable by any means, but, you know, you kind of have to just trust that the grip is there, even though it doesn't feel like it.
That's not scary at all.
No. All right.
My last thought is, if they had a cash pot for passing the most cars, you'd be collecting right now.
So far, yeah. There's a lot of, hopefully.
And do you recognize that when you're out there, like, Jesus? I know you're always eyes forward, but do you start counting the number, or do you start realizing, like, Jesus, all right, 7, 8. I mean, you've been going nuts, man. Take it easy.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. You know, I enjoy it. I wish I didn't have as many cars to pass, but I enjoy it, you know, especially at the race on the weekend. It was a lot of fun, you know, really outbreaking a lot of guys and going, you know, deeper than I thought. You know, they don't make it easy on you. You know, a few times getting kind of forced right on the inside into one, and, you know, luckily was able to make pretty much everything stick. And, you know, I enjoy passing, and it's always, I think, been a strength of mine to get around people once I get close. But, you know, like I said, we don't mind passing, and it's all fun and looks good, but, you know, we'd much rather have a day like Will Power where he doesn't pass anyone.
Yes, right. All right. But you could really have 3 top 5s with just a little bit of luck.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, it's good to know, but at the same time, until you actually do it, then we haven't done it yet. So we know we can, and I think we definitely will.
So we're expecting rain. We don't know how much rain, but we're expecting definitely have some downtime. What do you have in a bus or a motor coach or something to keep yourself? Because last year you guys were playing vintage Mario Kart?
Yeah, we were. I do. I'm lucky. I've got a motor home here.
That's a planning part. You got to bring the fun stuff in the rain.
Well, those guys, they've got much bigger buses and much cooler stuff on the inside than I do. So,
but yours is yellow this year. That's good.
Yes. Yeah, I'll be over hanging out with them.
So Fernando Alonso, it's an experience for a number of people here. A lot of the media are wound up about that. Fans are wound up. Is that even a part of any of your world? Or are you so focused on what you're doing that, it's cool he's here, but all right, then 29 is just another car to pass?
Yeah, I think before the race and before we started, you know, practicing, it was kind of a big deal, and I was excited to, you know, see him and just be on track with him. But since we started practicing, you know, I don't really care, honestly. I mean, it's not anything that'll help me go faster that he's in the race, you know? So we've got plenty of things to worry about and focus on. It is very cool to be racing against him, and he's a guy I've looked up to for. I used to have Renault t-shirts and model cars, and was a big Alonso fan and still
tell
am.
Him that, he'll feel really old.
Yeah, me and everyone else here, right? So it's really neat, but at the end of the day, same for a lot of these guys. I mean, I've been watching Power and Dixon and Elio for my whole career as well, so there's a lot of cool guys that are out there that I'm racing against.
Now, do you think if we gave him $100, he would walk up to Alonso pit lane, slap him, and say, "Stay the F out of my way"? Now, that would be fun.
Or take
a couple more zeros,
or
maybe.
Or take his model and say, "Listen, you get a minute. Will you sign this? I want to put it on eBay because I don't get, or DMU get it, and it'd be nice if I could make a little bit of money off of you."
I was thinking about asking him for a pair of gloves or something.
Yeah, ooh, that'd be good. That'd be
helmet cool.
Why
trade?
Not?
Yeah. Helmet trade. Because your helmet is fresh. I got to admit, your helmet
Thank you.
Is.
I actually just got a new one today. It's going to look pretty sweet. It's red, white, and blue. So, not so much yellow for this one race, but I'll be back to that in Detroit.
All right, last couple of quick questions for you. So during the GP, we had all three ladders for the Mazda Road to Indy. Obviously, you're part of the Juncos family here for the 500, but Ricardo is very involved there. As a champion, but as a graduate, how connected do you stay to what's going on there? How close are you following the, you know, whether it's the 14-year-olds kicking ass and F2000 to Colton and Jameen and everyone else? You still really trying to stay plugged in, or are you feeling like you're done with school? You're going to hang out with the cool kids.
No, absolutely not. I love watching those races. I'm one of the first guys in the engineering office to turn the TV on when one of the races are on. I'm always looking at results and live timing, and you know, I still have a lot of friends that are racing in the Mazda Road to Indy, not just drivers, but teams and mechanics and engineers. So obviously, as well with the Rising Star Racing program, Oliver is now on board with that. Oliver Askew.
I was going to say, he's kicking ass and taking names.
He is. He's been very impressive, and you know, I think it's kind of, you know, not unexpected. I was at the Mazda shootout last year at Mazda Raceway, and he did an awesome job and really good go-karter, and he's obviously carried that into car racing, and the Capes are a great team. I race with them, and I don't really see anyone beating him this year in USF 2000, and enjoyed seeing Junkos Racing win in Pro Mazda and Indy Lights on the weekend too.
Last question for you. So you're back here for your second time. Are you getting more recognized by fans? Are you getting asked to sign any fun body parts? Men or women, you know, we're equal opportunity here. What's this return experience been like for you? I'm hoping more people are recognizing a young badass is going
places. I signed an older woman's brassiere earlier today, which was a little
all right.
Strange.
It's just a shame we couldn't.
I was hoping, yeah.
And it's just too bad it's not the old snake put days. It would have been the greatest, but that's good.
You'd beat the doctor getting shots tomorrow.
I would say the most thing that I've heard this weekend is a good job from Saturday. A lot of people, I guess, enjoyed watching me at the GP, so that's good to hear. And we're complimenting some of my passes, so that's probably been the coolest part.
I usually sign this off. I'm going to let you sign it off.
The only thing I'm going to say is that 2 days of practice, 1 day of qualifying, race, or make the purse better. and Graham Rahill suggesting. I was talking to Miles. He goes, tell him the purse. Miles knows the purse needs to be better, but we got to do something to spike. We need 50 cars if we're going to be here for a week. Other than that, it's a lot of people spending a lot of money out there, and that's the end of my soapbox. Spencer Pickett's passed 141 cars in 4 races. And, he's a pretty good kid, and I'm going to stick him up. Me introduce him to Bobby on tomorrow, and he's going to tell him how
he's
to pick up.
He's my neighbor.
Is he?
He's my neighbor.
Oh, good. Well, ask him how to pick
lot.
Women up on the fence.
Yeah?
Yeah. Hi there. Now, is that your daughter? Oh, you're married. You're divorced. I see. Now, you're such a nice guy, though. You're not. It'll never happen.
All right. This is the week in IndyCar news. We've got Spencer Pigot. We're obviously going to be rooting for him and all the badasses in this year's Indy 500. For Robin Miller, I'm Marshall Pruitt. And hey, you've got your all-access Bobby Unser Motorhome Privileges badge. You're his neighbor. Do you have one of these?
I don't.
All right, we're going to get you hooked up. All right, friends, we will speak to you next week, hopefully after qualifying or the boat races or whatever the hell we have going on.